make a big noise, playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will, we will.
What it is, everybody? Welcome to a new season of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. My name's David Pether. You can call me Fish. With me, as always, my favorite sack of shit.
Connor McDuff. I've been watching a lot of Star Wars lately. So
why the Star Wars theme in here?
There's no real reason. Nothing to do with Star Wars this week. I just love the shit out of it. So, you know.
Just doesn't need a reason. It's just there.
You're goddamn right.
I understand.
You're goddamn right.
Well, don't use them all up, because we will be reviewing the new Star Wars movie come the end of the year. Speaking of years, we're into our second one. Episode 53. This is the start of a new season, or a new whole year of fucking watching movies for us.
I like calling it season two.
It is. It's very much Fish and Connoisseur Movie season two. And today we're going to be kicking off our season watching the new Adam Sandler film, Pixels. But before we get on to that, I want to go back and talk about a movie that we were supposed to review, but it kind of didn't get a cinema release when we were supposed to review it. It was that Hot Tub Time Machine 2. I fucking seen it last night.
What the fuck happened to that? What the fuck happened to that?
I don't know. It just didn't get a release anywhere, as far as I know. I couldn't see it anyway. Jesus. And then all of a sudden, last night, I was just chilling at home, and I seen it pop up on iTunes, and I'm like, well, fuck, I want to watch this. So I did, and it's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, not bad.
So I'm really confused as to why it didn't get a cinema release. Like, it definitely misses John Cusack, because I don't know if you remember, but he doesn't come back in this one.
Yeah, he's not in it, isn't he?
He's replaced by
Adam Scott.
Yeah. Who's fucking funny as hell, so he more than makes up for it. But I think the problem with it is there's no straight guy.
Yeah.
They're all kind of funny. They need that John Cusack in there to just level things out. And John Cusack's just got the best fucking, like, straight guy face. He's very much like Jason Bateman. It's just that, what the fuck is wrong with all you people?
Yeah.
You know?
That sort of questioning the world. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Arrested Development. I always watch Arrested Development, but I've been watching more of it lately. And you're totally right. It's just that condescending, like, you're all fucking idiots. That look they can give. It's very impressive.
And you need it. And in this one, they try to kind of make the kid with the glasses... Jacob, they try to make him the straight guy, but he sort of is he was always kind of the, you know, being the nerd in the original, he was the one who sort of understood the concept of time travel, so he had that purpose, but he wasn't really the straight guy. He's still kind of funny in like a loser way, and he's very much like that in this as well. But fucking Rob Corddry, or Corddry, or however you say his name, is just fucking hilarious. And him and Craig Robinson as well. Like, it's just a good laugh throughout the whole thing. Like, it's a pretty dumb storyline, and it's whatever, but it's nowhere near the level of the original. Because I really enjoyed the original. Were you a fan?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. I think it had some really good moments. I really liked just that breaking of the fourth wall. It's probably my favorite moment, when he's like, it must be some kind of Hot Tub Time Machine. Stares directly down the camera. I'm like, that's fucking perfect. I don't know what... It's just so memorable to me. But no, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that worked really well. They try to replicate that one, and this one, it doesn't work quite as well. Like, still funny, but, you know, that was that joke. And it's like, that was funny then. And now it's kind of like, you're trying to do it again. Not really. But there's like, Rob Corddry has some fucking... blinder fucking lines. Like, there's just one bit where he's just getting angry at one guy, and he's like, how about you make like a fuck off and get out of here?
It's like, Jesus Christ,
just can't make up that shit. It's a beautiful thing. But yeah, like, it was, you know, because we were kind of building up to it a bit last year before we were supposed to review it. I can't remember what we ended up reviewing instead, but
well, I mean, like, it just never came out, so
it just didn't happen. Yeah, it was really strange. So, pretty disappointing, and I hope that people do go out and see it, because it is a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But like I said, it might have just been... It does definitely miss the heart of the original. That the this one's just like a fucking shit ton of laughs, where the other one actually had, okay, you know, made yeah. you have, you actually felt for the character a little bit.
Things.
But other than that, what else are we going to talk about this week?
Mockingjay. Let's talk about Mockingjay for a bit. I saw a thing on a YouTuber, it's an old trailer, but it just popped up. I'm so not excited for Mockingjay. I don't know about you, right? But especially off. I don't. Right? I'm not.
I'm exactly the same, man, and I feel fucking terrible for it. What is? I don't know what it is.
Because the last one was fucking horseshit. That's what it fucking was. Fucking stupid. Man, I wish I could go back when I was drunk off my face and redo that review just so I can fucking argue about how much I really didn't like it. Hindsight is the son of a bitch, man. And I dislike that movie. It's... Well, the funny thing...
Yeah, nothing did happen. The thing I remember that I think we both held on to was that it was definitely leading up to bigger and better things for this coming sequel. So I feel like I should be excited about it. But then on the other hand, I feel like because they really just played us for fools by giving us a fucking part one where nothing happens, maybe I'm just burnt and I just don't care anymore.
Pretty much like you... I think... People really seem to be underestimating their audiences at the moment. And so what they do is they do this shit and they go, oh, you know what? It's a money scheme. People will eat this shit up just because it's the Hunger Games. Every franchise does it. So let's do it anyway. And they fucking do this and they try and pull the... Is the phrase pull the wool over your eyes? Is that the phrase?
Yeah, pull the wool over your eyes, yeah.
They try and bend you over a table and fuck you in the ass. And to be honest... While it works initially and you're like, oh yeah, Hunger Games, the moment you fucking think about it, nobody has an interest. And the problem with people thinking about it is you have a year gap between your two films, you fucking idiots. Yeah. So no one's really fucking... I'm sure plenty of people who are in the demographic for the film are quite excited, but I'm not. The majority of the people I've been talking to about it are not excited either. Like, why the fuck hasn't this thing just ended? It should have ended last year. There's no hype for it anymore. There's no like, oh, it's coming out soon. Like, no one gives a shit about this movie anymore.
Because this should have ended. This time last year when, you know, part one was coming out, there was hype. I remember it, like, even because I was excited for it. We were both, you know, we just started up the podcast. I know we spoke about it a lot in our first few episodes. And that's just not there now. And it is really strange. And you're still working at a cinema. I'm not, but I thought that maybe it was because I was just missing that part of it. But you know what I'd be really interested to find out? And maybe we should try and track down like a diehard Mockingjay, like Hunger Games fan before this movie comes out, maybe leading into the episode where we review it, and somehow interview a Mockingjay fan and who is actually excited.
I've had arguments in the past with people who have read the books and they're like, oh, it's just like the books. You need to read the books to understand.
So they are happy.
There's got to always be diehard fans. It's the same with the fucking Hobbit.
Well, obviously, but like, so these people that you've spoke to who are obviously big fans of the books, like, you know, my girlfriend Bex read the book. And we could talk to her about it, because even today walking out of Pixels, we saw the poster and she was like, oh, cool, you know, but it wasn't like last year would have been like, fuck, when's that? Can we get the midnight tickets? Can we do, you know, like, I don't know. It just feels different even among, you know, my girlfriend who's a fan. So these people that you're speaking to, are they happy with this two-part thing?
I don't think they're happy. I just think they liked it. They liked the movie. Like, they believed it made sense. And I don't fucking know. It's not as if they enjoyed it or they hate it. They just argue immediately with me as soon as I say that it was shit.
So they're just getting on the defense of the actual franchise rather than that it was a good idea to make it into two films.
I'm sure someone will chuck a tantrum when they listen to this about the Hunger Games, but honestly, I'm just not excited. There's no reason for me to be excited because it's fucking bullshit. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny though, because like with you know, like I'm a diehard Hobbit fan and I was happy that they did the three movies. I know you weren't, but they did the three movies and I was like over the moon because they gave me more than I got out of the books. So I'm wondering if, because I haven't actually read the Mockingjay book. I've read the first two, but I haven't read this one. So maybe I'll try and read it before the movie comes out. But to be honest, I don't really want to because I'm just done with Hunger Games. Like, it's funny because one and two I lived for. Like, number one I've seen like three times at the cinemas. I fucking loved it. Number two I've seen two times.
I love number two.
Yeah, Mockingjay just, I probably... I don't even know if I'll watch it again leading up to this. I don't want to. Like, it was, yeah. But saying that, like, I just watched the teaser not too long ago, and it looks cool, and it's given me everything that I think I want, but I'm just finding it really hard to get G'd up for it.
Yep, me too. Mainly because I'm not going to be getting drunk with you when I fucking watch the movie, and I don't give a shit. That last one just wrecked it. It was so boring. And because it's a setup for this one, and I know somewhat what happens in this one because the stories, you know, the books are already out, I'm so not keen. And I still don't fucking understand why it exists. Because after people telling me, like, the bits and pieces of what I know of the story, I'm like, how the fuck is that going to lead into remotely an entertaining film? Like, it's going to be this big power play politics, you know, because she's not a fucking soldier, if we haven't all realized yet. She was a piece of propaganda, which is so, so annoying to watch.
Why is that annoying to watch?
Because, like, it's like, okay, there's a war. Finally. We know that, you know, you're watching this one after seeing the other two. Finally, there's a huge war. There's a resistance. And your protagonist isn't going to do any of the fighting. She's just going to be sad a lot.
Yeah, do you think that...
Peter, where are you? I miss... Shut the fuck up!
Yeah, that was very much the problem of this the first part, but do you think... Like, surely she's going to be a bigger part. Like, she's going to get amongst it.
I'm sure she'll... I'm almost saying... I know, to be honest, I know.
She'll shoot an arrow, because, at least.
Yeah, she will. And that'll be... it'll be some pivotal moment. But, like, I just don't give a fuck. Like... I know a lot of shit will happen in this film and people will be like, that was amazing. And I'm still going to sit there going, could have just been one fucking movie. Same with The Hobbit. Could have just been one movie. But look, I have a big problem, and you know I have a problem with movies being split into parts. Like, I have a big fucking issue with it. Even Star Wars. If Star Wars Episode 9 got split into Episode 9 Part 1 and Episode 9 Part 2, I would lose the plot. Make an episode 10 if you've got to.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you fucking do a part, you piece of shit. I fucking hate it.
It's harder. It's harder with a fucking book because they're already sort of sectioned into their own stories. Like, you can do it with Star Wars because it's its own... Like, you would think that they wouldn't make a part 1 and 2 of episode 9. Like, because you can just make an episode 10.
Yeah, but they did it... The other thing is they did it with Avengers and they've made an Avengers part 1.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mate, why the fuck did you do that? Just fucking make a fourth movie, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Make Avengers 4. There's this whole fucking marketing ploy, I think. I think it must be some sort of marketing title.
Oh, it is. It's 100%. It's marketing towards these people that, you know, because nowadays we all have Netflix and we all binge watch fucking TV. We want episodic stuff. But
nobody wants... No, and then the thing is, nobody wants a quadrilogy. You either have a trilogy or you have a saga. You have six films. Nobody wants a quadrilogy, and I feel like the number 3 is perfect. No one thinks it's this perfect number, and that's fine, and I understand when you write part 1. I get that. I understand that it's a marketing thing, but what all it does for fucking filmmakers and the creative team is give them an excuse to have a lot of money to do fuck all. That's all from their end. It's one thing to name it something, but that behind that fucking little subtitle where it just says part 1, part 2 means it just gives this creative team millions and millions of dollars to do absolutely fuck all for 2.5 hours, fuck the audience over, and then fucking when everyone complains, they go, it's a setup for the next one. It needed a setup. That's not just...
That's called a first act in a film. Yeah, that's right.
That's fucking exactly. I get so mad. I talk about this so much. I get so fucking angry because it's such a piss weak, unacceptable fucking way to make a movie. And it's exactly where the traditional filmmaking route is heading. And I can't fucking handle anymore. I'm sick of seeing fucking franchises. And then I'm sick of seeing those franchises fuck themselves by splitting movies into parts. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh my God. All right.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Well, you're 100% right, and it's just giving excuses to write setups, and we don't need setups. We need complete stories with like I've gone on record saying that I don't mind franchises if they do it well. If they can continue the story well, I'm happy with that. But let's finish the story that is happening in fucking this particular movie. And then you have your little tease at the end. It's like, oh, hold on. I'm cool with that, but I don't want just a fucking, you know, a build. Oh, and something good's just about to happen, which is what happens in, you know, TV shows. You watch like the pilot, or you watch like the last episode before the finale, and it's usually just kind of a build up to next week's episode. But the difference is there that we only have to wait a week, and you know, you're kind of like, oh man, I'm still super pumped to find out. It doesn't work when you fucking, yeah, when you have a whole year in between thing. They're really missing the point of this episodic thing.
The structure of a 50 minute, like a 30 minute, a 20 minute or a 50 minute TV show, right? Which is the general length of each television episode.
Yeah.
Is totally different to a feature length film. Like everything structurally about it is different. That it's a completely different ball, like playing field, and they're trying to treat. Yeah, you're right. They're trying to treat it as the same thing. Unless you're going straight to Netflix, mate, don't fucking do it. Okay, just don't fucking do it. Oh my god, I would be more happy. I don't know about you. I would be happy going into a final film of a trilogy, right? So say Hunger Games, and there was an option to watch the 4-hour cut, or a traditional like 2-hour cut, right? Yeah, so you could watch that the 4-hour cut's released. Maybe let's just say I feel like this, it would be more appropriate to distribute the 4-hour cut after the 2-hour cut's been released, so the diehard fans can go and see it. I would want to watch the 4-hour cut. Like I would do that. You and I would do it, for one, because I don't know about you, I would do it because I like watching films, and I would sit there and happily enjoy a 4-hour film. Like that's a journey. If I don't want to fucking watch a 4-hour film. I'm just saying, if they sat there and went, they're like, guys, we're so sorry. We cannot make this film any less than 4 hours, which is fucking bullshit on its own. If you can put King Kong into 3, you can put fucking Hunger Games, Mockingjay, the full thing in 2.5. If you really need to, I'd rather you do that than make 2 separate fucking films and make me wait a year just to extort some more cash out of me, you piece of shit. Clearly, I'm a little on edge about this still.
No, well, it's absolutely, yeah, no, I would as well. I would much rather watch a complete story in one sitting than have to fucking go back a year later. That's my biggest peeve about it. It's kind of like I've forgotten Mockingjay Part 1. I can't even remember what happened. I remember shooting down a fucking ship with something.
I just remember Peter beating the shit out of her. That was the best part of the whole thing, was Peter just fucking beats her up. Not that I'm not pro.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's how women abuse. That's kind of how it ends, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not pro women abuse. It just looks fucking awesome. Like it's such a cool moment. You don't expect it. He just like he just like kicks the shit out of her. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
well, and that was it, because like, and I remember us sitting in the cinema at that part, because it was like, oh, finally, we're getting some fucking, you know, conflict, and oh, credits. Yeah. No, that's
it.
You can get away with that in TV. Like I'm saying, you can't get away with that in cinema. It's like the cliffhanger thing, that story there was no real conclusion to anything there. And, you know, Deathly Hallows Part 1 did this as well. Fucking Harry Potter from memory. I remember hating that. Like absolutely hating Part 1 of Deathly Hallows. And then it ended up like the last Deathly Hallows was fucking sick. But that was just, you know, like the third act of a film. Like, why couldn't we just put it all into one? It's just marketing. It's just to make a little bit of extra money, because they can. Like, especially with a fucking juggernaut like Hunger Games, they stumbled onto this fucking blockbuster with the first one. I don't think anyone expected it to be as big as it is. Catching Fire just fucking blew everyone away. And now they get the 1 and 2. And, you know, it would be interesting if I'd probably read the book first. I might have been all about it like I was with The Hobbit, but because I haven't, and, you know, the majority of the people in the world who are seeing these movies haven't, it's, you know, the shoe's on another foot. But saying that, you know, when we come, when it comes around, like, well, I'm sure we're going to be giving this movie some praise. Like, it's just interesting to think about it now, where we both just don't give a shit. And you even like, a... I just came back from fucking America, where I went to in New York. They had a Hunger Games exhibit, and it was basically you know, the first three movies, and they had set dressing and costumes and just facts and, you know, behind the scenes sort of stuff about it. And I went through that and I was kind of like, yeah, this is pretty cool. And then even after that, I'm not pumped about this movie, which is saying something, you know, like I've tried.
It's because the last one was fucking shit. That's why, like realistically, it was a terrible film. Well, it wasn't terrible. It was just bad. And when you've got to, you're like, ah, this is, you know, hey, you've got to wait a whole year. But before you watch part two, you can watch part one, and that'll get you, keep you excited. And if part one's going to suck for anything, no one's going to be keen for the next one. The thought of watching Avengers Age of Infinity War part one is grueling to me. I just want to watch part two.
Yeah, like, that, it does. It doesn't feel like the right decision there. That's really weird.
There's never a fucking instance where doing a movie in parts feels like the right decision ever. I've never gone, that's a good idea. Please split one story into two parts. I've never fucking thought that. There's never been a point where I've gone, yeah, okay, I can get behind that ever. Just make your whole fucking story in one film. I don't care if it's episodic. I don't care if you do an Empire Strikes Back like Catching Fire fucking did. That's a full story that leaves on a cliffhanger. You're satisfied from the beginning, you're satisfied from the end, and you're still like, fuck, I can't wait for the next one. I don't give a shit about that, but there's never an instance where it's like, split the movie into two. Never.
Well, I feel like there is, and it's the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. Like, yeah, Lord of the Rings was three books to start with, but it kind of is very much what you're saying. But the difference with the Lord of the Rings is they completed at least a story in each part. You know what I mean?
Lord of the Rings was written as one book, but it was split into three, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Because
so
it feels like three. I know it feels like three books. It feels like each individual story there.
The Hobbit, yeah, and that's kind of the difference. That's what I'm saying, is that there's... You can read these standalone, or I could go watch fucking Two Towers just by itself, having seen the entire... Yeah. Like, obviously, you'd want to watch them in order to start with, but, like, I could go back and watch any one of those and be fine. And the same with The Hobbit for me. Like, I can go back and watch any of those and it's fine, because they tell a story...
But that's...
In that, like, The Hobbit didn't do it as well as Lord of the Rings, but it just brings it back around more than these part ones we're talking about.
I mean, like, it's a different... That's a whole different ballpark as well, though, because they were separate books and they tell a story from the beginning and the end. It's not Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, part one. It's not.
Yeah,
Hobbit.
You're right. Yeah.
And The Hobbit pissed me off when it came out, because it should have been two movies. And I said that from the beginning. It's a book not even half the size of Lord of the Rings. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, why the fuck would you split that into three movies? It just makes no sense. You know, I hate The Hobbit. I didn't want to get into that, but I fucking hate The Hobbit. The second Hobbit and the third one. I like the first one. The Hobbit's, that's a totally different thing as well. I didn't hate The Hobbit because it's part one, part two. I just hate The Hobbit because it was a shitty film. It should have been two, but there's still three individual films. You're totally right. Like, they feel like three films because they tell fucking stories. Oh my God. Mockingjay, not keen. I reckon let's kick on. I reckon we should move on to Pixels. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think so. We'll hold our judgment. Like I said, I think when the movie comes around, we're probably going to be singing a different tune. I'm hoping. I really am, because the love that I had for that franchise to start with, I hope I can get it back, because I just don't have it now, and I'm really disappointed about that. But Pixels, let's talk about that. You want to give us a quick little plot summary?
Sure. Pixels follows Adam Sandler's character, who I've immediately forgotten the name of. I'm not going to remember.
Brenner. Something Brenner.
Pretty much, there was a video game competition back in the 80s, and they were going to send the footage of that video game competition into space in case Extra Life ever was located, and then they open the probe up and see what humans are like. So aliens found the probe in, you know, 20-something years later. they've seen the thing and they think it's a challenge. They think these video games are a challenge, and they start to attack Earth and challenge Earth to like a war, pretty much, using aliens in the form of video game characters or some shit. They send video game characters.
Classic video game characters from the 80s. Yeah.
Down to destroy the Earth and to take over the world. And Adam Sandler, being the arcade genius he is Earth's only hope. Alongside him is Peter Dinklage and some weird Jewish dude who is quite funny.
Josh Gad
and his best friend Kevin James, who is also the president of America. And so the four of them, save the world from video game characters. That's pretty much the whole plot, I think. Pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, they get three chances. First, the aliens give them three different, basically they say you have to beat us out of three goes, or whoever wins three times, claims the Earth, I guess. And the first few times they... humans didn't even see it coming, because they start off with Galaga, I believe, and then...
Yeah, they get destroyed.
What was that second one? Was it Pong? Was that supposed to be Pong?
Second one's Centipede.
No, that's the third one. The second one, you know when that Indian guy's, like, proposing at the Taj Mahal? What was happening there?
That was Pong.
Because did you pick that up as it was happening? Because I only picked it up in the little pixel recap of the movie in the credits.
That was Pong. Or is that other one where you fucking launch the ball into the bricks and you destroy the bricks, whatever that one's called. I don't know.
I don't even know, yeah. But then it gets, then they have Centipede, and that's when Adam Sandler and Josh Gad come into it and start, they know how to play the game, so they win it. And the second one was Pac-Man, which everybody's seen in the trailers. And the third one, what was the third one? Well, they don't have a third one because it was said that Peter Dinklage cheated.
Donkey Kong, I guess, like the boss.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of the boss, but they basically say, look, fuck you, you cheated playing Pac-Man, so now we're just going to send every friggin' character down to annihilate you. And then Adam Sandler ends up getting into the mothership and playing fucking Donkey Kong.
That's it.
That's the thing, yeah. Why would they send... Why were they sending a thing into space?
Oh, well, I mean, just because it's a probe. That's what they've done. They've done it heaps. They send probes out with like culture from Earth.
But why video games? Why would they send video games? That's an interesting thing to me.
Because it's a fucking Adam Sandler film. Like, of course. I mean, it makes sense if you're gonna do this. This is I kind of was behind that aspect of it, to be honest. I didn't even question it. I was like, yeah, NASA would send parts of our culture, and a big part of our culture, especially back then, would have been, you know, our love for everything arcade. Yeah. Like, that would have been huge back then. And I mean, it's not as if they sent a probe just with video games. They sent a probe full of things, and one of the things that was in the probe was video games.
Right, okay. See, I didn't get that. I thought the probe was just solely full of video games.
Really?
It was did they just have like a VHS in there? Was that like they just taped this?
Oh, well, at the time, I'm sure it would have been a VHS or something. It might have been a set of video games or something, but they were filming it, so it would have been VHS. But I mean, like, I understood.
But it wasn't actually the games. It was just sending just a video of this competition, right?
Yeah. It's a silly thing, but... in the grand scheme of, especially an Adam Sandler film in the 2000s, I was behind it. I didn't even question it. I wish there was a scene where we see the aliens, like even just a spaceship or something.
What they actually look like, yeah.
Just find it.
Well, you got their space. Oh, find the actual probe. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, just nothing. Just even like a ship in the background, the things in the foreground. You hear the music come in, and you see the video games on the TV in the probe or something. Just something to kind of solidify. Like, I got
to
it.
To collect it.
Yeah,
because you never really get any sort of connection to any aliens or what they are, or who they are, except through what's that little orange thing's name?
Hubert. Who should not have been talking. Like,
yeah, that got weird. But I talking about how silly it is. Like, I'm not saying I have a problem with it. I'm just trying to get my facts straight because that was one thing I was coming into it now. And when you just said it, I was like, hold on, why did they actually even send that out? That seems like a really weird thing to do.
The aliens were horribly depicted and thought out. Like, there's this, like, I like in the regards, like, you don't know where they're from, you don't know anything about them. Are they video game characters, or are they taking the form of video game characters? If they're taking the form of video game characters, why would their boss be Donkey Kong? Wouldn't it be a real alien because they're not playing video games anymore? Like, there's all these things that don't really match and fit together.
And in some ways, they don't particularly matter. And, like, I would have liked to have had some, you know, personal, not a connection, but some way to know what these aliens are and exactly who they are, where they're from, sort of thing. You get little bits and pieces. But this goes back to me talking about it is silly, and everything about this movie is silly, but it never takes itself seriously enough for me to be like, fuck, that's stupid.
Yeah.
And exactly like you were just saying, you don't really have a problem with it and you're able to go with it. A lot of the stuff that happens in this film, I'm just able to go with because of the fact that it sets up that a Pac-Man can come into our world and start trying to eat fucking minis. You know, like, I'm happy to see that stuff. And I think that was kind of fun how they did that.
I really enjoyed I like the concept. I like the concept because I like the short film it's based off.
Yeah.
And I thought that was awesome.
And talking about Donkey Kong being the big boss, like in the scheme of the film, that was the final game. That was like the big boss fight at the end of the 1982 arcade championships. So to me, that makes sense. Like it you know, that works in. But when you start to think about it, it's like, hold on, why is an alien depicting the boss? But I guess in terms of they would have watched that video from start to finish and the finish was fucking Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to get into this now. Let's kick on. Let's talk about the characters as we do. By the way, if I was a viewer, I would be fucking in love with our structure at the moment. We've been doing it for ages, but we always talk about characters and it lets us delve into the story. And I think that's just a delight. Anyway, enough of me being a fuckwit.
Please.
You know, I think, first of all, the big hitter, Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler, in my opinion, his films, Adam Sandler films, are not good. Happy Madison Productions, they are not satisfying movies anymore. They haven't been since I was 10 years old. A lot of people feel the same. Anything, like, when he makes shit, it's too stupid and it's too dumb. Adam Sandler
it's a fucking common conception as well, and I feel like this movie having him on the it's killed it. Like people are hating on it without even seeing it.
And it's a horrible, horrible thing because that you're totally right. Before even going to this film, I was not keen. I'm like Adam fucking Sandler because you know exactly what's going to happen. You know his tone, and yes, this film has a lot of that dumb shit humor, and it's fucking annoying. Like, there are jokes in this that I'm like, that's an Adam Sandler joke, that's an Adam Sandler joke, and they don't work. Cubit pissing himself was the most embarrassing, rage-inducing thing I've ever fucking seen. Why they put that in? Disgusting.
It was. While we're on this, I don't know if I actually brought it up too much, but, like, I actually hate it. I hate it in any film when a character pisses themselves. It doesn't do anything for me. It usually happens in like horror movies, or it's supposed to be funny when somebody's so scared that they piss themselves. But to me, it's not funny. Yeah. It's just uncomfortable.
And it's fucking
just
disgusting.
Don't do it. I would never do it in a film, and I think it needs to stop.
And then you've got
8-bit piss. But saying that, the fucking crowd that I was with today ate that shit up. They all laughed. So I don't know.
I did not like it. I was with...
I didn't like that at all, no.
I was with my partner and we were just not satisfied. We were like, what the fuck? But at the same time, a lot of the film, you can tell the director has had an input in what's being done and is quite enjoyable. Like the joke, that selfie joke where the guy's freaking out at the Taj Mahal and he turns the camera. Like, that was fucking gold. That's a good joke. I was like, that's really good. What's wrong with that? Yeah. And this film has those moments where... A lot of the time, I'm giggling. I never laughed hysterically. There was never a point where I found anything too funny. But there are points where I was enjoying myself quite a lot. And then there were points where I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I knew Adam Sandler had an impact on that aspect. I know it. It has to be him because that's what he does. But at the same time, he did well in his role. He was quite likable. He was, he wasn't, he was never stupid, in the film. He was never that dumb fucking old school 90s Adam Sandler that doesn't work anymore because he's this old 40 something year old man. Is he in his 50s? Who knows?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
You know, doing silly shit. But, you know, I think he did quite well. I quite enjoyed him as an actor. He wasn't terrible by any means.
No, I agree. He's 49, by the way. Well, you know this. I am an Adam Sandler fan. Even his more recent stuff, I do enjoy. It's definitely nothing compared to his old shit. Like, Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and all that sort of stuff is just... fucking brilliant. Yeah. But it's but I do get a certain satisfaction out of the familiarity of all his films because they're all the same. Yeah, they're all the same thing. And he's even playing the same character that he generally plays in those movies in this movie.
In this one. Yeah.
But he's just charming, and there's something about it I like. I like that Happy Madison humor. It's never like laugh out loud. It's just like a bit of I get you. Or I might have a little giggle, but I'm not like, you know, like last night when I was watching Hot Tub Time Machine 2, I was fucking, there were definitely laugh out loud moments in that. This isn't that. This is just light family sort of comedy that I can go with. And I actually appreciate in some ways because it's, like I said, it's familiar and it's safe. I know I'm just going to have... I know what I'm getting, and I know I'm gonna enjoy it because I have always enjoyed that sort of thing. And to be honest, coming in, I wasn't really too excited about Adam Sandler being a part of this movie because I feel like
he could have hindered it. It's just not his thing. Yeah,
he really could have. And but to his credit, he didn't at all. Actually, if anything, it ended up working for me because this actually became a little more of a Happy Madison production than I expected it to be. But exactly what you're saying, obviously somebody like the director or even... who was the original guy? Did Tim...
I forget his name.
No, sorry, Patrick Jean was the original, the dude who did the short film. Yeah, and then...
The short? What is wonder the short? If he had... Am I thinking of the same short?
Yeah. I've read up. I haven't actually seen the short, but it's a adaptation of Patrick Jean's video game.
Oh, I've never seen this one. I was thinking of something else. Yeah.
But anyway, they had, you know, they got all these writers in, and they all sort of did things. And it seems like a lot of different people sort of put their bits into this, and it actually sort of counteracted a lot of the Happy Madison sort of stereotypes. They're definitely still there, they just dumbed them down a little bit, so we don't. Well, not dumbed down. So it's probably they made them more smart, if anything. and just made it work a little better. Because like as like a summer blockbuster, this fucking works. This film, like the action.
Oh, I'm sure.
Scenes,
I'm sure it's making a shitload.
Well, I hope so. But like, it seems like nobody likes it. Like we've all like last week we were talking about we want to see this so
this
people.
Shit.
So people are fucking giving it to him where we have to see it so we can see what's so fucking bad about it. And to be honest, sitting there watching it today, I don't know. I don't think it was that bad. Like, it's definitely fucking nothing mind-blowing, but Jesus Christ.
This movie has some really, really dumb, shitty fucking moments that I totally expected from an Adam Sandler film, but this movie also is quite funny, and it's not good. I don't think this movie's good. It's not, but like, it's not terrible. This movie is not terrible at all. My partner agreed with me as well when we walked out. Like, there's no flaw story-wise or just comedically or visually that makes this film awful. Like, there's nothing rage-inducing about this film. And I'm really easy to piss off. There's nothing that really got me, like, thinking, why the fuck am I here? What am I fucking doing? You know, it has that supporting actor. What's his name? The Jew guy?
Josh Gad.
He was great. He was fucking hilarious.
Fuck, he's so good, the man. Whole way he is, he's going to be big, man. He's going to be massive, that
he
guy.
He was hilarious.
I fucking love him.
What did he say? He said
Peter
something
Peter Dinklage was great. Like, it does. It all comes back to what we're saying. Like, and I feel really bad, but it's Adam Sandler shot himself in the foot by, you know, just making fucking generic stupid comedies because everybody hates him now. And so this movie is instantly hated because he is connected to it. And that's really, it makes me really sad because, like, there's so, like, even after this film, I went and bought Jurassic Park bobblehead, like, it's a little fucking egg with a velociraptor coming out of it. It's fucking cool. But I said to the dude, he's like, oh, what have you been up to today? And I said, oh, I just went and saw Pixels. And he looked at me like, why? And this guy worked in a nerd shop, you know, like, this was like, it's hot.
Yeah.
I can't remember, it's like Hot Stuff or something like that, or That's Hot in High Point here in fucking Melbourne, and it's just like all collectibles and shit like that. And a guy who works in that, I would expect to want to see a movie about 80s fucking, you know, video game characters, but he looked at me like I was an idiot. Like, why did you go see that movie? And I said, dude, like, it's getting fucking raped at the moment, but it wasn't that bad. Like, do you like Pac-Man? He was like, yeah. I said, go see the movie.
That's it.
Like, you're gonna like it. Like,
It doesn't suck. I don't fucking understand. It's not that bad. It's
like, I brought up a story last week where a guy was, I just overheard him talking about it, and I said, well, he was just going on. He's like, how did they, somebody at some point had to think that this was a stupid idea. Like, and I said, hold on a minute. The idea of fucking, it's 80s awesome. Video it's game so cool. character coming down is fucking sick. Like, that is an amazing idea. Like, having Adam Sandler connected, even that gave me a little bit of like, oh, like, because you could get anyone like do that. Let's get fucking John Cena in there. That'd be fun. I don't know. But like, Adam Sandler, it just doesn't feel like the right thing. But it, in the scheme of the film and the script and his character, it fucking did. He worked.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I kind of wish that this film sucked ass more so we could sit here and kind of rag on it and just grill it, you know, and have like some sort of an argument. But I don't really know what to say. It's just not that bad. There's nothing about it that's...
No.
And I'm fucking sick of it because the past 7 or 8, probably like 10 movies we've reviewed have just been fined. This is just fine, except Southpaw. And I don't... It's Peter Dinklage was fine. Kevin James,
I really
was
liked
fine.
Peter Dinklage. I quite liked his character. I thought he was fun. He put on like this southern accent thing, and it just worked. He was such a dick. Him coming into that fucking championship, like as a younger character with those chicks, that sort of part as he comes through. What's he call himself? The fire, the flame starter, or flame
like
man,
flame bringer. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Fucking hell. I just laughed. He was just really cool. In fact, I wish he was in it more, to be honest. That's probably one of my only things. Like, I think there could have been a lot more fun to be had with his character that they went going. But saying that, Josh Gad really took up that slack. I didn't expect him to be so good in this film because when he's yelling at those fucking Marines...
My god, that was so funny. I love that bit so much. My favorite bit is when he meets Adam Sandler's girlfriend and he just like smells her and he's like, you smell like the Book of Genesis. And I'm just like,
the Book of Genesis. Yeah, that's right. Oh my god. Like, just that's what I mean. Like, just when he first sort of comes into it as an adult. And he falls out the back of Adam Sandler's fucking truck when he gets punched. And he has that bottle of chloroform. what did he just call him? That's what he says. He's like, oh, yeah. he's got to drug him just to have a conversation. Like, yeah, he was a really cool character. And even leading in from them as kids, like they... And this is one thing I've always really liked about Adam Sandler films... and even the more recent ones, he tends to do it all the time, is just have like that kid scene. Like, it takes, like, you know, we see his character as, or all their characters as children. And it always goes back to that, you know, the 80s or whatever. And I always enjoy that sort of thing. Like, we were talking about it with Straight Outta Compton last week. Like, the '80s is like a really cool era, I feel. And when we get to go back to that and we see these kids playing on these old arcade machines and stuff, like, it's just a lot of fun. And it's, I always find that really charming with any sort of film. Like, I like having a childhood connection to things. I think it always makes things stronger for
me. Of course, like nostalgia and that sort of thing. I just like video games, yeah. And this played me like a fiddle in that regard, because I fucking...
Oh, fucking oath.
I like that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about the video? Well, let's get onto the games part of things. Let's move on to that, because I think we agree all the characters are pretty fun. Like, even Kevin James as the president. When somebody said, because there was that video at the start of him, like, not being able to read, and they were like, the president can't read books or something like that. And I was like, hold on, the president? Like,
yeah.
Of USA? That. Like, what the fuck? I think that was one kind of stretch in a way, is that, you know, Kevin James was the president and still had all this time to be telling Adam Sandler's character that he was, you know, man, you got to do something with your life. You're brilliant. You're fucking all that. It's like, he's a president. He wouldn't have time for that shit. If anything, fucking Adam Sandler's like a bum, and he would have moved on and gone to bigger and better things. Like, it is nice that they do, but like, to me, that was a bit of a stretch. But you know,
I didn't mind that, actually, to be honest. I really didn't. That didn't fuss me. I kind of appreciated that friendship. I can see myself doing the same thing for someone, not as president, but just that. That's just friends, you know. I like that.
It is friends, but like, I feel like it very much, everything was very much about Adam Sandler's character. You know, like, the president has bigger and better things to worry about. And like, yeah, like I said, I like the idea of it being this friendship thing, but everything always came back to him, and it usually does in Adam Sandler films.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a flaw of his, is it's always about Adam Sandler, and this was nothing different.
Again, it's definitely like the Adam Sandler movie.
Again, minor problem, but like, because the movie was so silly, I was like, fucking whatever. You know, we get to have some fun scenes with these guys who are obviously good buddies, and they have great chemistry together on film. Like, even back to, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Like, I really like that film. Did you like that one?
I did when I was 10.
Well, there you go. That counts. That counts. But yeah, video games, man. The visual effects in this movie were pretty fucking on par.
Yeah, they looked good. I thought it looked really good. There was nothing really unappealing about it. I thought it looked really nice.
Yeah, like, the pixels all looked really cool. And I like the way that they were lit. Like, so everything that was around them was lit up by them. Like, you know, when Pac-Man's next to them, there's this yellow glow.
Yeah, it was really well lit. It was impressive.
Yeah, looked really nice. And they were really creative in the way that they played the games in this real world. Like, the centipede scene was just fucking cool. Like, I really liked that. And then the whole Pac-Man thing, even though I'm kind of like, oh, the minis is ghosts. Like, they kind of come up with some weird reason why they have some fucking force field or something around them that when it touches him, like, okay.
I don't know. But look, there's a lot of... The only... Like, one of the issues, aside from the dumb fuck jokes that pop up every 5 minutes, you know, is the just kind of the logic that just kind of changes when the movie deems it fit, like, when the movie seems like it needs to.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of things that happen, like, yeah, okay, Tyrion Lannister's using cheat codes, but that's... He's defying the laws of physics. Like... He's like, what? How the fuck does that even work? I don't understand. How is that?
Well, that's what I'd like to know. Yeah, like, because how are these minis ghosts? Because, like, it's not like the aliens set them up for them. They actually came in with themselves, you know? And it was like, so that, yeah, it did, he's defying physics, exactly. which, again... Because it's a dumb movie, and I know this is a cop out, but like, because it's dumb, I'm just going with it. Like, it's video game logic.
Yeah, I was the exact same. I did not question. I was like, okay.
Yeah, like whatever. It's only coming back later and thinking about it. Like, I actually always had kind of a problem with the minis, because even from the trailers, I was like, why are they the ghosts? Like, yeah, they have the colors, but and it eventuates in a fucking sick action scene, like this really cool chase scene with Pac-Man chasing them through the fucking city and stuff. But it, they like they're so creative with everything else, and then they just sort of like, oh, we'll just bring in some minis.
That's it. I don't understand. It's just money. It's just cash. That was kind of it. There's just moments where I'm like, the fuck? Like, how the fuck does, like, Qubit turning into that,
the chick?
I was like, what the fuck? And then they cop it out in the movie when Adam's like, does anyone else find this weird? Like,
yeah.
And I'm,
that's it. Well, like, that's what it's like. He's basically making out with Qubit.
And I was he just like, goes that's
and
a good joke.
And it shows at the end of the film that he's actually made Qubit baby. So he just fucked Qubit. Yeah. He didn't fuck the chick. He fucked Qubit.
I don't understand that. I was just like, that's a good setup for a joke there. But at the same time, that's a fucking weird relationship.
Well, it just ends up, well, everything's just very convenient. Yeah. And like we've said, it's just like it can't, the movie sets itself up as it's just going to be like that. And it's kind of, okay, well, righto. But that Pac-Man scene, like that part where Adam Sandler's counting down Super Pac-Man or whatever, when he eats the pellet, like that was cool. Like him going, like reversing through the fucking thing, yeah, and then it, at the last minute gets him, like all so well choreographed and so, and just fuck.
Chris Columbus, good. Man, he did Home Alone. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for the guy too, because this movie doesn't suck. It's not terrible. And this is a film for a man who has done nothing but make gold his whole fucking life. Mm. And now everyone's dragging on this film for no, from what I can see, no logical reason. I mean, I guess it must be just personal preference, but like he made Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, Mrs. Doubtfire, Home Alone, Home Alone 2. He wrote Gremlins.
He did the first Harry Potter as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the first one. He did the first one and the second one. He did the Goonies. Yeah. He wrote for the Goonies and Gremlins. Like,
yeah, he's a big dog, man.
Big dog, and he's fucking had to make this, and I'm like, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, exactly. And like, I feel bad for everyone involved with this film, because they did good. Mm. They did good, but we'll leave all that for later. We'll when we wrap up, we'll talk about why.
The only other gripe I have in this film, and the only other thing I want to talk about is Qubit. Qubit seems to be now the kind of go-to good guy video game character. Like,
we had him in fucking
Wreck-It Ralph. He was a big part too. Qubit was like the friend. But Wreck-It Ralph did it better. Qubit shouldn't be talking. Like, I'm listening to this thing talk and I'm like, shut up. Shut the fuck up. You're fucking annoying. And it's just wrong and like weird and not cute, and he pisses himself, and I'm like, you're disgusting, I don't understand. Yeah.
Mm.
Not a fan of that.
Well, it's weird because it's like, why Qubit? Like, there's such a fucking great roster of video game characters out there.
Why
like,
Qubit?
Let's do, like, fucking Sonic or Tails or something. Like, or even Kirby? Kirby's a cute little fucking thing.
Kirby would
like,
be cool.
You know, Pikachu? I don't know.
It'd be rights. It'd be rights for sure, man. Like, Qubit would have been just the cheapest or easiest character to get for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's just like what we said, he's been used. And like, I don't think I've ever actually even played Qubit. I don't even know that.
Don't know Qubit.
So it's weird. I don't, he's a strange, like, yeah, he's cute, but, and like, he had some moments in this, but it wasn't anything special. Like, they could have just found somebody really cool. Crash Bandicoot. I don't know. Like, that's, I know that's from the wrong era.
These are our long lost dreams that'll never happen, Fish.
Yeah, like, yeah. But even like, you know, they bring the dog from Duck Hunt into it.
Yeah, I thought that was
that
cool.
Would have been like, let's bring him into it. He's fucking, he looks fun. Like, imagine that dog. Hey, he has like a scene where he goes and fetches something for them or something. I don't know. Like, somehow helps them beat some of the other ones. Like, beats Frogger. I don't know. My big gripe, probably my biggest gripe, and it's not even like huge, but it's kind of a letdown because they did everything else so very well in terms of the video games and creatively depicting them into the real world, is that final like fuck you from the aliens where they just send everybody down. There's no structure to it. It's basically just there's a heap of video game characters that you may know. Our characters have light guns and they're going to shoot them. Like, let's be cool about this. Let's have like fucking, you know, when Frogger's attacking them, they have to run Frogger over with a car because that's the only way to kill Frogger, you know, or any other the other games. Let's bring that creativity that they did with Centipede and put it into that. It just felt like, oh, fuck, we need to wrap this shit up, you know?
I agree. I totally agree. I don't even have anything to say. That's exactly what it felt like. They just kind of throw them all out there, and they're just like, where do our, like, where can we put our characters right now for this last thing? I really enjoyed watching Peter Dinklage and Josh Gad.
Me too.
Is Josh Gad or Josh Gad?
Josh Gad.
Yeah, Josh Gad. You know, shooting shit. Oh, I was like, that's sick. That looks cool as hell.
Yeah, like it was cool, and they were you know, bouncing off each other as well, and it was, you know, fun, like, for character moments and stuff. But those two were video game champions, and let's use that knowledge that they have, because in the end, it all comes down to Adam Sandler being the best video game player, because it's always about Adam Sandler. And
yeah,
but
which
it's
was
like
such,
these guys.
It seemed like such a redundant fucking thing to go with. Is I'm the best, like him saying he was the best. You know, like he's the best.
Yeah.
Like, it was
like, look, to be honest, I didn't mind that, you know, he'd been haunted by losing to Peter Dinklage all his life. And then, you know, we find out that Peter Dinklage was cheating, and it's fucking okay. It was okay. But again, it all just sort of came back to like, no, he was in the right the whole time. He didn't cheat. He actually is the best. But you know what? He may, even if Peter Dinklage did beat him, he was still the second best in the world. Like, fuck, that's still pretty fucking good. And you know, they get to the point where they're about to fight Donkey Kong, and Kevin James is like, oh, Donkey Kong, the one game that you suck at.
Yeah,
it's like, hold on, he's second best in the world at Donkey Kong.
He never sucked at it. He just didn't win.
Let's make it that he actually, like, they should have made it that he actually fucking sucked at it. Like, and because he says he couldn't see the pattern in it, and that's cool. But that doesn't show, because he still made it to the finals.
He still kicks ass. Yeah,
he still technically beat Peter Dinklage when we found out that he cheated. Like, they're like, it becomes redundant because he actually is still fucking awesome at it. Yeah. Like. You know, so that was, you know, being so smart about everything else and coming into this ending, it was just like, again, like in the end, I was like, fuck, it was really cool when he was doing the whole Donkey Kong scene. Like, that scene was fucking really cool. And it looked really cool too. Like, I really enjoyed the way that was shot, the way it looked. And it was fun. And him fucking up Donkey Kong in the end with the big hammer, which I'm not sure if you could throw the hammers. Is that a thing?
No, you can't throw the fucking hammers.
And I feel like the hammers died after one hit, wasn't that? Because that sort of, they established that to start with, but then he's able to fuck up him. But yeah, fuck it. It looked cool.
That's it.
Oh, so yeah, that's really my biggest, probably my biggest gripe with this film is that it's kind of like they just got lazy in the end.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. The ending was really weak. The ending was kind of the weakest part of the whole film. And the Donkey Kong thing was a little terrible. And I was reading reviews about it, and people were saying the Donkey Kong part's the best bit. And I was like, what? How the fuck is it the best bit?
I wouldn't say it's the best bit, but I wouldn't say it's terrible. You just didn't like it?
I didn't enjoy it. I don't like it. The whole green screen thing and just all of it CG. I'm like, just keep it on Earth. I just didn't like...
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of that Tron thing to me, like, because I really enjoy Tron, and them getting to get into the video game was fun for me, and, like, as a kid, I would have loved that shit. Like, loved it. But, you know, definitely, it looked like they were on a green screen, but I think they... It looked better than most green screen shit that I've seen.
Yeah, I did. It was really, really pretty. They did well, and as well choreographed as well. Anyway, I'll say all this in the final verdict. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I did really like that. Peter Dinklage requested Serena Williams and Martha Stewart.
Yeah, that was
like,
great.
As a sandwich.
And he gets
it. That was cool. He gets it in the end. Yeah, I love it that Serena Williams is like on his arm at that, like, the night, the gala that they get thrown for, and she's just not having a bar of it. And also, Sean Bean coming in as well. He was fun.
Sean Bean, yeah. It was shooting a beer commercial. That was great.
Yeah, it was shooting a beer commercial. Oh, great then.
Like, that was good.
Fucking cool. And he's like, if I say we're shooting a beer commercial.
he just loses it.
Yeah, well, no, that's pretty much it, man. Fucking let's wrap this shit up.
Look, I didn't hate the movie. I've pretty much told you guys already how I felt. This film was not good. This film was not bad. It had shitty moments, but it had really good moments as well. And the concept didn't fall through. The concept was fun from the beginning. It was fun till the end. And the acting was great. The comedy was there for half the time. The other half, it was bullshit. So I'm going to give it a basic score, it's 2.5 out of 5.
The most average of scores.
That's it.
Yeah, look, I probably liked it a little bit more than you. I would actually go as far to say it actually is a good film, for what it is, because it does everything that it kind of promises. And it sets itself up well at the start. Like, and it's just a good summer blockbuster. And it's not, you know, it's not The Dark Knight. It's not fucking, it's not Jurassic World. It's nowhere near those leagues, but it is fun. And it has video game characters, which we can, most people can sort of relate to, at least in some way, because everybody knows most of these characters. There were a few characters that I had no idea what they were, and I'm like, shit, am I a real nerd? Like, what the fuck? But it was fun, like, getting to see Pac-Man fuck up a city. Like, fuck yeah, yeah, that's awesome, man. Like, and that's all I really wanted to see, and I'm disappointed because, like, I felt like I wasn't allowed to be excited for this film. And because everybody was sort of just shot it.
Yeah.
Just jumped on that bandwagon of the I hate Adam Sandler.
I knew you were going to like this. Shit. The moment I saw it, I was like, Dave's going to like this.
And so did I. That's the funny thing. But I felt like I couldn't be excited because, like, even on the podcast, like, we spoke about it a few weeks ago, and even Mitch, you know, that was the podcast that Mitch was on. And, like, I can't remember what Mitch said, but, like, I don't remember him being over the moon for it. And he fucking loves every movie. He's excited for everything. And I feel like that's just what the feeling was out about this movie. It was like, it wasn't cool to like it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's it.
It wasn't, it's not okay for you to
be
excited
about
it.
You're a fucking loser. Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? Fuck you. I hate everything. I'm used to people disagreeing with me.
Yeah, that's it. And now watching it, like, I wish I was more amped for it. Like, because I feel like, not that it probably would have changed anything. If anything, I went in with really low expectations, so it probably helped it a lot. But, like, it's just, it's unfair. It is so unfair because exactly what you said, it's worth a watch. And to be honest, this is a big screen movie. This is what you go see at the, this is the epitome of a popcorn flick.
That's pretty much it. It felt, you're right. This is what it felt like. It just felt like an old school, early 2000 popcorn flick. It felt like, yeah, that's it. That's, yeah, all it was.
And you go in, you get entertained for 2 hours. It wasn't even that long. Was it like just over an hour and a half, maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was 2 hours. So it was 2 hours long. Yeah, it was long.
Yeah, right. Well, I didn't feel that. And you know why? You know I feel long movies. So I was able to go with it the whole way. And it's just disappointing that most people won't see this at the cinemas, if at all, because they're really going to miss out on something that is just fun. Like this, you should go see this. If you have kids, take your kids to see this. They'll fucking eat this up. Like, it's good fun. 3.5.
Nice.
Yeah, so go see the movie. That's what we say. Like, Fish and Connor, we're giving our verdicts, and you know, Connor hates everything, and he actually kind of enjoyed it. So there you go.
It doesn't suck. The end.
Yeah, so what do we have next week? Was it Everest, I think?
Everest, that's it.
Yeah, what are you thinking about Everest?
I reckon it's going to be a little shit. I think it'll be fine. Like, I'm sure it looks like there's been a bunch of money pumped into it, but it does look pretty, it just looks pretty generic. Like, it looks like one of the guys will die and the other one's going to live, and the guy that gets down will live the rest of his life happy and shit. Like, that's what it looks like. I can kind of tell.
Yeah, for sure. It's weird because it's, I don't know about in Brisbane, but it's being marketed quite heavily around here at the moment.
No, not really. Not here anyway.
And I feel like it's being pushed as a bigger movie because it's getting an IMAX release, which I'll probably go see it on IMAX.
Yeah, it's being pushed as if it's a like one of those perfect Oscar worthy films, and I'm like
a huge huge event film.
And I'm like,
too,
mate,
like,
but you don't release a film in September and try and fool people into thinking it's an Oscar worthy film. Don't even. Nice try, bud. It's not going to happen.
Well, that's probably... I don't know. I don't know if it's pushing for an Oscar style, but
no,
I definitely feel like it's trying to be an event film, but it's just not getting... Like, it's getting a bit of market around here, but, like, it's only just sort of coming out of nowhere now, and I was... I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. The other option for next week is the Blinky Bill movie. Have you seen it? Have you seen the fucking trailers to that shit?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. It's embarrassing.
I like Blinky Bill.
Was Blinky Bill? Did you watch Blinky Bill as a kid? Was
hey,
he around?
Hey, Blinky Bill.
He was a big part of my childhood. I used to really enjoy it. Like he had a, they had a really cool style of like I don't know if there was a different style when you watched it, but the original was like a 2D picture like on real backgrounds, and it was cool. It looked really cool, and they had really cool characters and stuff. And then I look at this fucking atrocity.
Trash heap film.
Which looks like they've just, like, they're not even in the second stage of forming their characters. It's some of the worst animation I've ever seen, and it's just fucking stock, stupid fucking Australian stereotype humor.
Do they forget that kids will just watch a cartoon? Like, kids will watch it. And no one else is going to see Blinky Bill.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I just, it just seems so silly.
It's just like, you know, in a day and age where we get fucking brilliant films such as fucking Inside Out, to be able, you have to contend, man.
Yeah,
like,
Blinky Bill.
And Australia has some of the best visual effects artists in the world. Like, we have a lot of fucking, you know, production houses down here that actually specialize on Hollywood fucking effects. Like, I've got a friend who did Ant-Man, you know, like, come on, like, and they do this shit, like, yeah. I don't know who's doing it, but like, I'm embarrassed. Like, this is why Australian films don't do well, because they're half-assed.
Yeah,
although there is another film called Oddball that comes out next week. That kind of looks cute.
Yeah, it's fucking dogs and shit, whatever. Yeah. No, we're not seeing any of them. We're seeing Everest.
Mainly
because there's a screening I want to go to, and it's early in the week, and it would be free, and that would please me.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I'm happy. You're happy. Everything's good.
Yep.
Do you know what time it is?
Until next time.
Play the music, bitch.
We will rock you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fishing Connoisseur a Movie. Fishing Connoisseur a Movie does not own any rights to the film Pixels, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track We Will Rock You is performed by Queen and Von Lichten.